Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Almighty God, who through the preaching of thy servants, the blessed reformers, hast caused the light of the gospel to shine forth, grant, we beseech thee, that knowing its saving power, we may faithfully guard and defend it against all enemies, and that we may joyfully proclaim it to the salvation of souls and the glory of thy holy name, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. October 31st, 1517, was the day on which Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church at Wittenberg. The Sunday nearest October 31 is celebrated in many of the Protestant churches as Reformation Sunday. It seems appropriate in this fellowship that we pause this day to commemorate Martin Luther's memory and those other heroic men who, in a very real sense, are our spiritual ancestors, and to reaffirm this day our own commitment to the God whom they served. In the spirit of the Reformation, let us read responsively selection 45. I want to read this morning a brief statement from the great historian Philip Schaff concerning the greatness of the Reformation. The Reformation of the 16th century is, next to the introduction of Christianity, the greatest event in history. It was not a superficial amendment, not a mere restoration, but a regeneration, not a return to the Augustinian or Nicene or anti-Nicene age, but a vast progress beyond any previous age or condition of the church since the death of St. John. It went through the intervening ages of ecclesiasticism back to the fountainhead of Christianity itself, as it came from the lips of the Son of God and his inspired apostles. It was a deeper plunge into the meaning of the gospel than even St. Augustine had made. We remember many things about Dr. Martin Luther. We remember the brilliance of his mind, the productivity of his pen, the courage of his convictions, the effectiveness of his protest, and the total heritage which he was used of God in passing along to us. But perhaps there is nothing that is more indicative of the man and of his capacity to be receptive to God's outpoured grace than the realization of the depth and the quality of his own religious experience. And we see this manifested in various places in his writing. I want to read three paragraphs from his treatise on Christian liberty. Many have thought Christian faith to be an easy thing, and not a few have given it a place among the virtues. This they do because they have had no experience of it, and have never tasted what great virtue there is in faith. For it is impossible that anyone should write well of it, or well understand what is correctly written of it, unless he has at some time tasted the courage faith gives a man when trials oppress him. But he who has had even a faint taste of it can never write, speak, meditate, or hear enough concerning it. For it is a living fountain springing up into life everlasting, as Christ calls it in John 4. For my part, although I have no wealth of faith to boast of, and know how scant my store is, yet I hope that driven about by great and various temptations, I have attained to a little faith, and that I can speak of it, if not more elegantly, certainly more to the point than those literalists and all too subtle disputants have hitherto done, who have not even understood what they have written. That I may make the way easier for the unlearned, for only such do I serve, I set down first these two propositions concerning the liberty and the bondage of the Spirit. A Christian man is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian man is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. If somehow we could catch a new vision of the meaning of our own existence unto God as free lords of all and yet as dutiful servants of all, and thus realize our vocation in the free service of God and the free service of neighbor, we could in our generation experience again something of what this man of another day experienced. In the spirit of worship, may we sing together the great Reformation hymn, number 40, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.